God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme for this summer series is focusing on the Lord's Prayer. Particularly today, we'll be focusing on our Father's name. And it sort of begs the question, where do we get names from? You know, we have some names we may be passing on from one generation to the next generation. But how did we get to the name of the tree, or the house, or the car? How did we get the names of the dandelion and the grass? Well, the Bible reminds us that God actually brought before Adam all living creatures. And whatever Adam called and named that living creature, that was its name. Now, where did Adam come up with the idea for all these names? Well, you got to remember that Adam was sinless at the time of his creation. And being sinless, he had a special relationship with God. And because of that special relationship of God, he knew the very nature of the animals. It goes so far to say that Adam even knew his wife, Eve. And so how does he name Eve? He says he names her Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Names do play a very important part to the character of people. Especially in the Old Testament, we have God now doing some name changing for some particular purposes that God wants. He changes the name of Abram to Abraham, meaning a father of many nations. He changes the name of Jacob to Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God. He also changes the name of one of his disciples, of Simon, to Cephas, or Peter, meaning a stone or a rock. In today's world, we actually do a little bit of that. Even though typically we name our child maybe after some relative or some important person, but sometimes we pick up names that pick up to the person's doing or the person's nature. In my own family, we have a dog that we have who was previously named, and the name was Darcy. But I will admit, when the dog gets a little zealous, especially since it's still considered a puppy, and my daughters get maybe a little taken back, saying, I don't want this dog sniffing me all the time, our household has come up with another name for the dog at that moment. It's called Sniffer Nose. Plain and simple, that's what it's doing. Likewise, on Wednesday morning, when we had our Wednesday morning worship for our child care center, I decided to tease the children who were present and ask them this challenging question. What was my first name? Their first reaction, Pastor. But my mom is here to tell you that the moment I was born, she didn't name me Pastor, but after one of her favorite Old Testament characters, that of David. But yet, that's exactly the name of Pastor is what the kids call me. It's a name I actually prefer because it gives the people the title of not only what I do, but who I am. Pastor meaning one who shepherds, particularly shepherding God's people. Henceforth, I really don't want to be called Father, especially since Jesus says that's not necessarily the appropriate term. We have one Father and he is in heaven. Don't want to be called Reverend because there are times in my life I really don't feel very reverent. But Pastor is what I do. I shepherd people and point them not to myself, but to the great shepherd, Jesus the Christ, especially as our stained glass picture behind me depicts. So what is God's name? God's name, well, first of all, how does God reveal himself to us? We see from the mighty works of creation, the trees, the mountains, the plains, the oceans, yeah, that God is powerful. He is wise. He is good. He is glorious. And in the still small voice of our conscience, he is also alive and well. We know God is holy and just and everywhere, all-knowing, and also full of love, as God's Word in Holy Scriptures reminds us. We know that he is very merciful and slow to anger. All of Scripture is a testimony of who God is, with the ultimate testimony being God's only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Jesus even says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So as we see the person and work of Jesus, who ultimately gave up his life for us sinners, we see the nature of God the Father. Also, Paul picks up on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God said, "Let light shine out of darkness, has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We have to remember that, yes, Jesus the Christ is God. Hence the definition of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, but three persons. And Scripture testifies of who this Jesus is. As God's glory, the image of his person, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. As I mentioned before, Jesus says the Father and him are one. In Christ we see the divine features of God now taking on flesh and blood. So in Jesus we notice that he is the Savior because he died on the cross to save us from our sins. He is the Christ, the Anointed One. And in Old Testament, in Isaiah, he is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, because he is all of that. Plain and simple, God's name is who he reveals himself and shows what he does. So now we have a little bit of a background of what is God's name, so we have to ask the question, what is meant when we say, "Hallowed be thy name"? Well, in one essence, we have to remember that God's name is holy in and of itself. There's nothing we can do, as Luther reminds us, to make God's name holy. He is holy. Rather, the change of what we're praying for in this petition cannot be to make God's name holier. He is perfect. He is holy. The change is rather within us. It is that God's name be made holy among us. You see, we're the ones that have failed to keep God's name holy. Picture it this way. Because of our sinfulness, we can't grasp who God is. Because of our human nature, we're not infinite. We have a certain beginning. We will have a certain end. We cannot grasp an infinite God. In one essence, our knowledge of God is sort of like a drop of water compared to the vastness of the oceans. Very little. But in that drop of water, we see God's gracious love and his action of forgiveness through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Something to hang on to. But we need to remember how we start our worship service. After the invocation, typically when we don't have a baptism, we move into the confession and absolution. We have to understand that we have small opinions of God, that we are also sinful and he is holy. So we have sinful views of God. You see, if it was up to us, if we were asked to make our own image of God, and what does it mean to have our own name of God, what name would we choose? Well, let's just be really honest right now. I would just choose my name. And I would say, "You want to see God? Look at me." But that isn't what God's Word, the Bible, says. That's why we need to pay attention to his name. Not what I'm named. I should be the under-shepherd of the sheep, pointing to the great shepherd of the sheep, pointing to his name, which is holy. My name isn't holy. I'm a sinner. I have fallen short of God's glory. You want salvation? You want eternal life? You want the forgiveness of sins? Look to the one whose name means that, not mine. I was like teasing my mother. Yes, I was named after King David, and at one time had the greatest expanse of the people of Israel, but also sinned greatly when it came to Bathsheba and Uriah. So likewise, I also am a sinner, and I fall short of God's glory. We're not here to glorify my name. We're here to glorify God's name. Hence, in whose name do we actually begin the worship service? With the invocation. It doesn't say in the beginning or in Pastor Bala's name. It says, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Whose name has power to effect change in our lives? Whose name was Angelina baptized in? Not again Pastor Bala's name, but in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In whose name do we have salvation? Not in my name or any of your names, but in the name of Jesus, the Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is God's name that has power. It's His name that is holy. But unfortunately, our sinful nature wants to sit there and glorify our own name. If you want proof of this, look in your own prayers. Look in the greatest desires of your heart. Take a look at some of the goals that you want to accomplish, and how many of those goals are for you or for someone else, versus how many of those goals are for God. Deep down inside, if we're truly honest with who we are, we'd rather hallow our own name. That's our sinful nature kicking in. But God, as we pray in this petition, wants us to hallow His name. It is in His name that we have life. It is in His name we have salvation. It is Him, His name that we have the forgiveness of sins. So now, coming back to our sinfulness, we have to ask, okay, God, I have fallen short of Your glory. You're right, I'd rather do things for myself than for Your name. How do I hallow Your name the correct way? As Luther reminds us, when God's Word is taught in its purity and truth, and when we as children of God also lead a holy life according to this, grant this, dear Father in heaven. That's how Luther explains this, and that's how we need to hear it. Two things are going on here. One is that God's Word, His name, be taught in its truth and purity, and the other aspect is that we live lives according to that. Let me take up the first concept first. God's name needs to be taught in its purity and its truth, because as soon as we start taking away from the Bible, who are we going to put in its place? As soon as the Bible ceases to be the ultimate source and authority for my life, I'm going to put something else in that place, and that something else is usually with the selfish Trinity, me, myself, and I. That's right, we like to make God in our own image. So as long as we remain faithful to God's holy word, it's sort of that roadmap, that compass in life, that constantly pointing us the right direction. But as soon as we leave that compass, as soon as we leave that map, as soon as we leave God's word, even a little bit of a speck, the unholy Trinity, so to speak, starts slipping in and gaining power and control of our lives, the me, myself, and I. So we need to pay attention to God's holy word. Read it. Learn it. Why is it as Christians we have a hard time opening up that book? Why is it as Christians we have a hard time coming to hear God's word and attending worship services and having Bible studies and praying for our friends and encouraging one another in the faith? We like to follow the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I, instead of God's name as He has it revealed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second part of this, as Luther explains, is what do we do with this faith? How is it lived in the actions that we commit? Put it this way. Today we had the wonderful experience of seeing God's holy name in action. Whenever God's word is connected to simple water, a miracle takes place. As baptism confers God's grace, the person receives it through faith. We say Angelina's sins are forgiven. She has eternal life. Great and wonderful. This is a joyous celebration. The victory of Christ is at hand. But also notice in the prayers and the rest of the baptismal liturgy, we also have strong encouragement for that little one to grow up in the faith, to be taught God's word. Because baptism is not that magic bullet. Baptism confers God's grace. Now the child needs to continue to be taught the pure doctrine, and not only taught, but to live it. And it's not just for Angelina, it's for each and every one of us who also bear the name of Christ. Very often, we like to say, we have the correct knowledge of God, we have the correct pure doctrine, especially as Lutherans, we're very happy to have a great, wonderful heritage of good theologians to remind us to get back to God's Word Amen to that, and even more so. But now we have to also remember that knowledge does change the heart. God's Word does change the heart. Have you been changed by God's love? James reminds us in chapter 2, verse 19, "You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." So what's the difference between the demons who understand the oneness of God, the Trinity, versus the Christian? The heart is changed. There is love. There is charity. There is forgiveness. The believer, being united to God through His name and through holy baptism, now confesses and professes God's holy name before all people, and not just with words. We even know in today's society, words can be very cheap, also with actions. See, the greatest way that we can demonstrate God's love for us and His forgiveness for us is, yes, being zealous for pure doctrine, but also being zealous to share those good works. That is the Christian attitude, so to speak. Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." What was Jesus talking about? Just memorizing Luther's Small Catechism? The answer is no, but sharing God's love. Now, I don't want to detract from God's pure doctrine. No, we want to maintain that. We want to continue to keep ourselves embedded into God's holy word. But we also want to share that love to those around us. Because by our good works, other people get to see how important it is to be loved by God. They get to see the change and the difference in your life. And they're saying, "Wow, I want to have that love. I want to be connected to a loving, forgiving God." But if the world sees a bunch of Lutherans walking around spouting off Luther's Small Catechism and hating one another, what kind of testimony is that to God's love and forgiveness? Not a very good testimony. So on this day, as we remember, what does it mean to hallow God's name? Yes, His name is holy. We ask that His name be holy among us. It's obvious we want to avoid the swearing. That's just pretty obvious. Besides, there's a commandment that speaks to that very, very well. But also maintain the pure doctrine. Use God's name in appropriate ways. And have God's name to be active among us in our relationship with other people. That's what it means to bear the mark of holy baptism, to bear the name of Christ. We profess to be Christians. Now let's show that Christian love to a world without that love. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So God challenges us as we pray this petition, "Hallowed be thy name." God's name is already holy. Hallowed it be among us. Let it be holy among us. We are reminded, as we'll get to it in our liturgy, during the communion part, we get to something called the Sanctus. Just to remind you of the words we say about who God is: "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth," Sabaoth meaning Lord of the armies, "heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It is in His name we have life. It is in His name we have love. It is in His name we have salvation. In His name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.